Hi, I'm Gregory Dickow, and thanks for joining me on today's podcast. If you're one of our regular listeners, thank you for your continued journey with me. My prayer is that each and every message touches your heart and helps you encounter the real Jesus and rise to your true worth and purpose. Now, we release new messages every single week available to everyone in the world for absolutely free. And the reason we can do that is because we have precious people who give generously and sacrificially each and every week. If you're a regular giver, I'm truly thankful for you. I can't thank you enough, in fact. And if you haven't taken that step yet, I want to invite you to join us today. Simply visit lifechangerschurch.com/give. That's lifechangerschurch.com/give to make a one-time gift, or even better yet, become a recurring giver here at Life Changers. Finally, I hope today's message truly encourages you, builds you up, and reveals to you how powerful you really are. Enjoy, and God bless. I want to just remind you, every one of us has defining moments in our lives, moments that produce miracles. And I talked to you about six or seven of these moments that happened in Joseph's life in the scripture, in Genesis chapter 45. We'll come back to that in a moment. But if you remember, because I only want to talk about one of these today, but we talked about several. Moment of revelation, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. That's the moment in our lives. That's the moment where Jesus reveals himself to us. You can't stop that. When that revelation comes and you realize Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're unstoppable from that moment forward. But you're facing opposition, but it's just because you're making progress. Amen? So there was a moment of revelation, and then there's the moment of provision where Joseph feeds his family who he was dead to, and then he was raised up and promoted, but he had a moment of revelation, a moment of provision. Your moment of provision is coming. God's provision comes after God reveals himself to you. Once you have a revelation of Jesus, you're going to start having miracles of provision in your life. Amen. And then there'll be moments of forgiveness, because life is made up of relationships, and relationships require forgiveness of ourselves, of others, right? You can't have a healthy relationship if you haven't learned the skill of forgiveness, forgiving yourself because God forgives you, and then forgiving others. It's a skill. It's not a feeling. It's a skill, and it is a gift. Forgive. It's a gift. Moment of forgiveness will really usher you into miracles. Then there's a moment of sovereignty. Sovereignty simply means that God is going to do it no matter what it looks like. God is going to keep his promise no matter what it looks like. God is in control no matter what it looks like. Are you with me? This is what I want to talk to you about. This moment of sovereignty. Moment of sovereignty. Where you can see God did it. Even though people did you wrong, God did you right. Even though people did something to you, God outdid what they did to you and for you. Whatever they did to you, God outdid for you. When you start looking at life like life is not happening to you, it's happening for you. Amen. No matter what it looks like. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what? Faith. And not by what? Faith. Oh, I don't think I heard you. I don't know. Maybe it got a little wax in my ear. We walk by what? Faith. Not by what? Faith. I'm starting to hear you a little bit better. Let me just make sure. All right, let me try it again. We walk by what? Faith. Not by what? Faith. Woo! Oh, I felt that. Did you? Genesis 45, verse 4 in the Message Bible. Let's see God's hand in Joseph's life. Come closer to me, Joseph says to his brothers. So they came closer, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into Egypt. He wasn't telling them that to shame them for what they did. He said, I'm Joseph, your brother who you sold into Egypt, but... How many are grateful for some big buts in the Bible? I'm Joseph, your brother whom you sold into slavery, but don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. God sent me here ahead of you. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. Just having a moment here with the Lord, just, it's good, it's funny. The Lord just showed me some stuff. You have to come back next week and I'll tell you all about it. All right. He said, there's been a famine in the land now for 2 years. The famine will continue for 5 more years, neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me on ahead to pave the way and to make sure there was a remnant in the land to save your lives. What you guys did to me saved your lives. He said, to save your lives in an amazing act of deliverance that we talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, how God did it, he is doing it, and he will do it again. So you see, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. He set me in place as a father to Pharaoh, put me in charge of his personal affairs, and made me ruler of all Egypt. Sound like some promotion to you? From the pit to the promotion, from the pit to the palace. Joseph acknowledges God's hand in every circumstance. We need to notice and we need to celebrate and we need to expect God's hand in every situation. So you see, now I want you to see in these 4 verses how many times Joseph says this. So first he says, don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. Number one, God was behind it. Then God sent me for 2 years. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. That's God doing it 2 times. Then he says, God sent me on ahead to pave the way. That's 3 times. So you see, he says, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. That's 4 times. He set me in place as father to Pharaoh. That's 5 times. Then in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, 5 chapters later, Joseph replies again, don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. That's like the 6th time. Or was it the 7th? 6th, thank you. Let's see if there's any more. Oh, yeah. Then he says, don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. And you see all around you right now, life for many people. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. I will take care of you and your children. And he reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. Oh, beloved, if we could just see that if God did that for Joseph, he'll do that for you and he'll do that for me. Romans 8:28 is still undefeated. You hear me say that a lot of times, right? Amen. Romans 8:28 is still undefeated and the undisputed champion. Romans 8:28 is wherein the heavyweight, lightweight, middleweight, featherweight, any weight. Romans 8:28 is wearing the belt. Whenever Muhammad Ali was knocked down, he got back up. And whatever anybody did to him, he ended up the champion again. Evander Holyfield ended up the champion again and again and again. And what does this remind us of? It reminds us that no matter what is happening, no matter how it looks, Romans 8:28 is the heavyweight champion of life. And no matter how bad it looks, God is going to use it to turn it around. Now, one of the things, I'll come to this verse in a moment, Romans 8:28, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. God doesn't cause all things. Romans 8:28 in the New American Standard Bible says, we know that God causes all things. God causes. He causes all things to work together for good. Put that up in the New American Standard. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Notice, God does not cause all things, but God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know you're called according to his purpose. You know that God has called you. You know God has a name for you that you don't even know what it is yet. He has a new name for you because your parents named you wrong. Even though they named you right, they were wrong. Even though it might be a great name, it's not who you are. You are what God says you are. You know, Mary and Joseph, they were given the privilege by God. They were given the privilege to give birth and to raise Jesus. But they didn't get to name him. Only God gave him his name. Only God named Jesus. They raised him, but they didn't name him. God is the only one that can name you. Your teacher might have named you loser. You may have been bullied and people called you all sorts of names. You can't imagine the names I got called with my last name. I'm not going to get into it all, but but you know what? They don't get the right to name me. I don't accept their name. I only accept what God calls me. He calls me his beloved. He calls me his son. He calls me his favorite. He calls me his child. He calls me his beloved. He calls me his best friend. I only answer to the name that God calls me. Don't you answer to any other name. Don't you answer to the name loser. Don't you answer to the name failure. Don't you answer to the name weak. Don't you answer to the name defeated. You only answer to the name above all names, the name he gives you. He gives you, he makes you a joint heir with Jesus, a joint heir with Jesus. He gives you Jesus' name, and he tells you you can pray in that name, speak in that name, love in that name, believe in that name, lay hands on that on behalf of that name. You can do everything in that name. Don't you accept anybody else's name for you. Only accept what God calls you. He calls you more than a conqueror. He calls you the head and not the tail. Don't call yourself negative things. I'm such an idiot. No, you have the mind of Christ. You're the righteousness of God. Don't say, I feel so bad about myself all the time. Stop saying that. Stop saying, I am what God says I am. I am his beloved. I am his chosen. I am his called. I am his son. I am his daughter. Say it. Speak over you what God speaks over you. Call yourself only what God calls you. He calls you healed by his stripes. He calls you above only and not beneath. He calls you blessed. Coming in and blessed going out. You know, when you start believing that in what he calls you, all the things in your life are going to work together for good. Because God causes all things to work together for good. He doesn't cause all things. You know, even Joseph said in Genesis 45, he said, even though what you guys did to me, but he said, God was behind it. In other words, God necessarily wasn't ahead of it. Meaning, he wasn't the one who caused them to do that. He didn't inspire the brothers to throw their brother into a pit. That wasn't God. God wasn't leading them to do that, but he was behind it the whole time. Coming behind and cleaning it up. Coming behind and making it work anyway. Coming behind and fixing it anyway. Coming behind and turning it around. Coming behind and turning everything that is bad into something good. He's behind it, meaning he's not the one who led them to do it. He's not the one that inspired them to do it. But because they did it, he was behind them and he was making it work for his good, for your good, and for his glory. Amen? You get a hold of that. Listen. You get a hold of this. This word in Romans 8:28, when he says God will cause all things to work together for good, that word work together comes from the Greek word synergio. What word do we get from that? Synergy. All things will come together and create synergy for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And we love him because he first loved us. Loving God means knowing that you are loved by God. When you accept his love, you're doing him a favor and loving him back. This is you. Romans 8:28 is you. God is doing this for you. It's translated, synergy is translated as in this verse. I cooperate with all things to work them together for good. When you believe this, well, I love what he says in the Message Bible, and that'll tell you what when you believe this. In verse 26, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, anybody ever been tired in the waiting? Guess what happens when you get tired in the waiting? Yeah, you just give up. When you get tired in the waiting, you fail. When you get tired of the waiting, God turns his back on you. No! When you get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. What a glorious God. God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how to pray or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans, our praying in tongues from the Spirit of God within us. We're speaking forth mysteries to God, and God is involved as his Spirit is working in you. His Spirit's working through you and putting together all the broken pieces into something better than how it looks right now. He said he knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition. Stop there for a moment. He knows our pregnant condition? Is that right? I have to look that up. Maybe that was printed wrong. Maybe it's present condition. I can see how that could go wrong, you know. Present condition is now a pregnant condition. But it does speak of inside of you, God is giving birth to something. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is working into something good. What happens when you believe Romans 8:28? Well, number one, when you've been mistreated, what you believe about this verse will change everything. So number one, believing Romans 8:28 causes all misery to be expelled from your soul. It causes misery. Listen, when bad things happen in our lives, we feel miserable about it. But when we realize that no matter how bad it looks, God is going to use it for good, turn it into something good, as you've heard me say over the years, what the devil meant to defeat you, God bent to complete you. What the devil sent to destroy you, God bent to deploy you. Believing this verse takes the knife out of your back when someone stabbed you with it. Believing this verse takes the knife out of your hand wanting to stab them back. believing this verse calms your soul. It causes all misery to be expelled from your life. Number one. Number two, believing this verse causes all gratitude to be created in your life. Believing this verse causes all gratitude to be created in your life. Believing this verse creates gratitude. Wow, thank you, Lord, that bad thing that just happened, that even whether it's something I did to myself or something somebody did to me or something the devil did or something that just happened in the world, I give pause to give him thanks, because believing Romans 8:28 creates gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. In every situation give thanks. Even in the midst of bad things, give thanks. Even in the midst of the confusing things, give thanks. In the midst of a bad financial situation you're in, give him thanks. I'm not saying you got to give him thanks for the bad situation, but you give him thanks in the bad situation. Don't wait for the bad situation to turn good and then you thank him. No, start thanking him when it's bad, because you know Romans 8:28 says he's going to take that bad situation, turn it into good. You might as well go ahead and praise him now. And number three, and I'll close with this, when you believe Romans 8:28, it causes total freedom. Amen. In your life. It frees you from revenge. Yep. It frees you from anger. Yep. It frees you from being jealous when you see somebody else getting ahead. It frees you from being offended at what somebody has said or done to you, because you know God will even take that thing which they said to you or did to you and he will turn it into something good. This frees you from having to fix everything. It frees you from having to be worried about everything. It frees you from stealing. It frees you from disappointment. It frees you from hating. It frees you when you know God will turn it around for good. Let's stand together. Hope you got something out of this today. Romans 8:28, the undefeated and undisputed champion of life. Now you can be a champion in life by believing, no matter how it looks. God is going to cause all things to work together for good. What is our part? I'll get into that next week, where I'll reveal to you what God was speaking to me while I was up here, if I remember it. But you got to get here. Be planted. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, everybody pray this out loud after me. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for my sin. He rose from the dead. Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe that Jesus is Lord in this universe. I accept the blood of Jesus as the sacrifice for my sin. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. If you prayed that prayer, on the count of three, I want you to put your hand up on the count of three. If you prayed that for the first time, one, two, three, just put your hand up right where you are. God bless you. 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 Who else? God bless you. I see you in the back. God bless you here. God bless you here. God bless you here. Way up here. Way up here. Come on, let's really give the Lord praise for all these precious people in the family of God. Hey, next week, next Sunday, first of all, those of you that just prayed that prayer, hopefully one of our team members came around you to give you this book, Power of a New Life. It's the next steps. It goes along, and you don't even have to get it from one of our team members. Go to the Next Steps class, and they'll have one for you too, because now you know we're having a class for you today for Next Steps right after this. So, but get this, download this anywhere in the world. Those of you that are online, download this book anywhere in the world. Life Changer, it's free, lifechangerschurch.com/salvation, okay? And or get one from one of our team members that are carrying these around. And next Sunday, come back. We're going to lay hands on anybody that needs healing, deliverance, breakthrough. Just come to the altar. The altar is going to be open and miracles are going to happen and souls are going to be transformed. Body, bring somebody who's sick, bring somebody. It's God. This is what God wants to do in our lives all the time. Amen. He's a God of miracles and he's going to do a great miracle in your life. Now you got Romans 8:28 fighting for you. And it's undefeated. And it's the undisputed. Champion of the world! You're dismissed. I love you guys. Come on up for any prayer needs that you have. And one of our team will pray for you.
Well, thank you again so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm praying that God is using this message to speak to you today. And I want to encourage you right now, if Life Changers is one of the platforms from which you're growing spiritually and you feel blessed and empowered by the content here, I want to ask you to go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and become one of the givers, one of the people that is changing lives with me around the world. Become a greater part of what God is doing. Become a part of something bigger than just you or bigger than just me, what God is doing around the world through this ministry. You can give a one-time gift or become a recurring giver. Remember, the church is not a place, it's a people. Let's work together as the church to bring more people into the family of God. Go to lifechangerschurch.com/give to give or click the link in the description. And thank you in advance. Remember, God's not mad at you. He is mad about you. He's in love with you and he is on your side. God bless.